The Fan on Demand. On and off the ice, it's all on the air. Hockey Central at noon on Sportsnet Radio, The Fan 590.
It is the familiar theme. You can hear us, but you will not be able to see us, at least for today. But Hockey Central, the cast and crew from Scarborough originally, Nick Kyprios. From Summerside, PA, Doug McLean.
Shelton, PA.
Born.
Did you say Scarborough?
Born, yes, in Summerside.
I'm giving you titles, okay?
Born and raised in Summerside.
North York, Willowdale, or Leaside.
What do you have against Scarborough?
I didn't grow up in Scarborough. How long have we worked together? How long have we known each other?
Refer to me as Yorkville, please.
From Yorkville.
Upper Yorkville.
And Darren Millard hosting Hockey Central at noon. Radio only
it's
today.
Great to be back.
We're going to get back on the TV side, hopefully by the end of the week.
And I got rid of you guys when I left PEI. And I don't even know why I went. Because my kids asked me that.
Don Collins asked if we could spend today's show talking about our summer vacation.
actually, he didn't.
He didn't.
He said something along the lines of...
I think he barred us from talking about our summer vacation, clothes. What else did he bar us from talking about?
Strictly hockey talk on this show. So let's get into it.
So
find an email.
When did you leave PEI?
Yesterday morning, 10 to 4 a.m., 15 hours.
15
drive.
Hours.
Here's the...
You're too old to do that in a row.
I know. But I felt good.
Millard over here. Here's the note from Collins that really hits home to what you guys have done to the show early on. I can't stress enough the importance of the show remaining focused on hockey and staying away from inside conversations that the audience will have trouble following or understanding. That basically sums up what you guys are doing.
Yeah. Well, so let's get into the hockey talk.
And it's real good we're not on TV because that shirt of yours is like, honestly.
Deborah Berman? My clothing lady?
She gave it to me.
You've only been working with her for the last 3 years.
This was new last year.
A development today in the hockey world involves the New Jersey Devils. Reports that they could be in a position of heading towards bankruptcy. So that's more bad news on the ownership.
No, they're heading towards
National Hockey League.
They're heading towards bankruptcy. They are a mess, from what I keep hearing.
But you know what? Why? I guess the question is, how long has it been going on? Because they've never drawn any crowds in the old building. Then they move into the new building, the Rock. And the crowds really didn't dramatically improve. Their salaries are always near the top of the league.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't they be? I don't understand how they've survived this long.
And that includes Lou Lamoriello, who's been right up there, the highest paid general manager. And, you know, depending on who you talk to, that could be upwards between maybe $4 and $5 million a year. And that's a lot of money.
And we can't say that the Kovalchuk signing really worked out to their advantage from a financial, fiscal point of view, that $100 million plus contract.
Not in the first year, but he was great in the back half of the season and the team was lights out. So
when they were down and out, it was typical of how he did in Atlanta. And when the team was out and there was no pressure, he was terrific.
And people are talking about New Jersey now taking that back half and going into this season, but... When you are heading towards bankruptcy, how do you not have a conversation with your owner that doesn't start with, hey, we got to shed some salary here? And I think their payroll was up towards $56 million. There's just no way.
And there's
no way the ownership group, I think it's Vanderbeek,
right,
that would go to Lou right now and say, hey, listen, this isn't about making the playoffs. This is about... We're going to bankruptcy and we got to do something about it.
Not to mention their best player, Parise, has to be signed. I mean, he's on a 1-year deal.
Well, and he's smart. He's smart. He had to have known where this organization was heading. It was a safe deal to take the $6 million on a 1-year deal. Is there a chance that he's going to be there next year?
And 25th in attendance. 25th in the league in attendance.
This story comes from a New York Post report that says that the two owners, principal owner Jeff Vanderbeek and co-owner Ray Chambers, they own respective 47% shares of the franchise. They're on the outs, and that the New Jersey Devils missed a loan payment on September 1st, giving its lenders a breakaway chance to push the team into bankruptcy.
Yeah.
They have no cash. They have no cash.
So the state of the National Hockey League in the backyard of Manhattan, the New York Rangers, where the league head office is, you've got one team that's been turned down at every effort to get a new arena in the New York Islanders. Now you have the New Jersey Devils headed towards bankruptcy.
Not to mention, I see a new owner is going to buy Phoenix, so we'll have that on our plate all year. I mean,
St. Louis is different, though. Dallas
is probably going to go through bankruptcy.
I don't think you got to talk about New Jersey in the same fashion as you do in Phoenix. It can work in New Jersey. They've got a good building there. Their TV contract's real solid with MSG. It's better than most.
But why have they never drawn, Nick? Never. Have they ever really drawn than when the Rangers were there?
Yeah, well, it's tough on weeknights. But, Mac, it's an organization that has historically done pretty well.
Great success.
Okay.
On the ice.
So, you know, do you have some challenges at midweek? Do you have challenges with being in a market that obviously a lot of people have choices from? Yes, but it has been successful. The problem is the debt has accumulated.
Right.
Right. And that's all it is. It's now the debt is far and beyond control, and they've got to do something about it. So no one's going to walk in there. They could get somebody to buy them tomorrow. But it's the debt that they don't want to take on. And the present owners would have to write a check for $20 or $30 million just for somebody to look at it objectively.
Yeah. Well, and when you look at the books, and they can't receive revenue sharing because their market's too big. So they've got to make it. And when you're 25th in attendance, what more has to be said?
They got
to
fix that because New Jersey gets hit because I don't know what it is. It's a 90-mile radius. But, you know, the New York Manhattan market isn't really theirs. Anaheim gets hit by that.
Chicago, right? Big markets.
Anaheim gets hurt by that because they get kind of lumped into that L.A. market,
right,
which really isn't theirs. You know, so that's another thing that they got to put on their plate when they do the next CBA.
This is the last thing Gary Bettman needs right now, because he's got Dallas, who there's a very good chance may have to go through bankruptcy, even if they are sold, from what I'm hearing.
Yep.
You've got Phoenix situation. You've got the St. Louis situation. Not to mention you've got Columbus, who lost $25 million last year and have spent now. I mean, if they better win the cup this year.
Columbus is okay because they brought in this consultant and they went through every facet of the organization, from ticket takers to the general manager to the president to the team services coordinator, and everybody's on the same page. The president, the coach, and the general manager are going to meet four times a year.
Yeah,
so it's all okay.
That's great.
So when some of us were scratching our heads at the Colin White buyout, now we know exactly why. And Salvador would have been bought out too, but he was hurt. Remember that?
Yeah. Well, look.
At $2.9 million and... You know, his ass is saved right now because he can't buy anybody out anymore. So he's going to be saved, but they're going to have to shed some payroll.
And let's not forget, they've always been a team that have put big guys in the minors. And they've always been, they seem to be up against the cap all the time. And I mean, how many years has this been going on?
It's
had to dress a minimal lineup at times last year because they were over the cap. I mean, And Lou was the guy that you couldn't get a golf shirt in that organization unless you went through Lou Lamoriello. Then that was seen to be taken away from him, and a new business guy came in.
You know, Mac,
but it's not good.
It's caught up to them.
It's tough to feel sorry for them.
It's caught up to them. And, you know, I don't know if I can blame, like, you know, you could sit there and say, hey, Lou had his way and he did these, you know, deals and he put guys in the minors. But, hey,
they won cups.
They won cups and that was his job.
Right. I agree.
It was his job. So, you know what? Vanderbeek turned the other cheek. He didn't make him answer to a lot of things on the bottom line over the years, and now it's caught up to the New Jersey Devils.
And what goes on now when you lose $20 million or $10 million or $5 million, the way your loan documents are with your lenders, is you have a cleanup provision at the end of the year, and you've got to get, you've got to put the money in you've lost. So you've got to write a check.
A footnote to the story about the loans is apparently Vanderbeek has a very poor relationship with the banks. That he's basically been front and center with telling them to go beat it.
Well, yeah,
you know, and what? The banks aren't in a real hurry to do him a lot of favors.
A lot of big years of spending money. Jacques Lemaire, $2 million coach, and still on the payroll as a consultant. That's one of the reasons why he came back, because these guys are still getting paid.
But the big problem is it's not the salaries of certain guys. The big problem is when you've got debt. And your carrying costs on your debt are $5, $8, $10 million. So in other words, you've got to make $10 million to break even because of your carrying. I mean, imagine what the carrying services are on these debts. I mean, that's the problem. Teams with $4, $5, $8, $10, $12 million in carrying costs to run your hockey team because you're so heavily leveraged. And when you're heavily leveraged in this type of economy, you don't have a chance to survive.
Millard, along with McLean and Kiprios, Hockey Central and Noon, back on Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 590. From a competitive standpoint, you're a fan of the Toronto Maple Leafs, Ottawa Senators, Buffalo Sabres, Montreal Canadiens. Take your favorite team in the Eastern Conference. Jersey is supposed to be a team that's going to be back in the playoff mix this year.
No, not.
How does this affect their ability to put up wins and losses?
I think it's huge, because I believe that at some point, if they already haven't had the conversation with Lou Lamoriello, they will. They're going to need to get down. I don't know if they're going to, tomorrow or the next day, you're going to hear that they're going to have to go down to the floor, the bare minimum. But it wouldn't surprise me at all to see a couple of maybe key guys like a David Clarkson. There's a good hockey player who didn't have a great year, making, I think, close to $3 million. Wouldn't surprise me at all to see him get moved. But they're going to have one or two key guys now, I think, being shopped around. Did Colin say anything about our phones being on during the show?
No, but that's in the next memo.
He's out there.
He's out there. There he is. Hold on. Can you come a little closer to the window so we can see what shirt you're wearing? It's a white golf shirt, but we're not allowed to talk about clothes, so yeah. I won't mention it.
You know, it's like teams, all of a sudden, the Ottawa Senators, the rumor is they lost $14 million last year, the Ottawa Senators. So what's their payroll down this year from last year? $14 million. I mean, eventually, you've got to get your business in order so that so all of a sudden, Ottawa's in a rebuilding. Why are they in a rebuilding? Well, because they had to drop their payroll by $14 million so that they don't lose a fortune.
And so, rumblings, whether or not Eugene Melnyk might be in it for the long run, too. You know,
New Jersey now has, according to NHL numbers, has a salary cap hit of $57 million.
Yeah.
So right in the middle of the league.
And who don't they have signed?
I think this will hang over New Jersey. I think, unfortunately, it's going to be one of those things where, you know, I hope it doesn't depress everybody with like the Phoenix stuff over the past year and a half, but I don't know how Jersey's going to dig themselves out of this one.
Yeah, they've got to bring in new owners and bring in capital. I mean, it's just the way you have to do it. And how much luck has a team like St. Louis had to bring in new capital? I mean, Dave Checketts has been working all summer to try and bring in new capital. What's their debt? $120 million or something they have in debt?
Yeah, Jersey's payroll has some front-end guy. Like, Kovalchuk is an obvious one, but then you go down the list of Elias is a $5 million guy. Parise's six. Have to sign him after this year. Zajac's $4.5 million. Zubras is $3.5 million.
There's a guy who's not even playing.
Clarkson's $3 million. So,
yep.
Zajac hurt to start the season.
And are they a playoff team? Well, they're going to be they're going to be in the hunt for a playoff spot. You know, they should be in the hunt for a playoff spot. Parise, let's not forget, they didn't have Parise all last year, their best player. So they should be in a playoff hunt.
Looking to bring in a special guest as we continue in Hockey Central at noon. Also chat about the players that don't have contracts and how that's affecting the status of Luke Shen, Drew Doughty. Go down that list. It's Hockey Central at noon with Darren Millard, Nick Kyprios, and Doug McLean on Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 590.
Now more Hockey Central at noon, simulcast on Sportsnet and Sirius Channel 157 on Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 590.
Millard, Kyprios, McLean, back at Hockey Central at noon. Another 10-month ride back in the saddle. It's game day here. Toronto Maple Leaf rookies, by the way, beat Pittsburgh 5-1 last night, and Edmonton drilled Vancouver 7-2. The first results of the season are out, and we've officially been hauled on the carpet by the boss, too, for the first time.
For what?
He had his water out in the desk.
Oh, GP8.
Yeah, and he thought we were on TV, and we're not. So that tells you everything you need to know about.
You still
when
I do
Collins,
my grocery
he's
shopping,
clueless.
When I do my grocery shopping at Rabbi, I'll get some today.
Rabba. And it's available in all 30 stores, you knucklehead. Wait till we start hearing your Mercedes-Benz's cheesy ads coming up.
For the record, Rabba?
You guys did get into trouble right off the bat, first segment.
No, you're in his good books. All we heard was you're going to be fired again for the second time. And I don't know, did you sign a new contract so the Toronto sports blog guy would finally realize that you're not going to get fired again?
Yeah, that guy knows stuff that I don't even know. Right now, we have a couple of young blue liners who are restricted free agents who do not have contracts. And add to that, you have Brad Marchand from the Boston Bruins who doesn't have a deal. So we have Luke Shen, Drew Doughty, Zach Bogosian.
Yeah, with another week, though, to go until their training camps open up. And I know you were all in a huff and a puff before the show, Mac, about why are guys holding out.
Well, I don't get what they've done.
We saw GM come out of you pretty quick.
No, but tell me what, like Brad Marchand, he had a good playoff. He had a reasonably good regular season.
You're shortchanging him.
Great playoff, and they won the Stanley Cup.
He's had one good year. He was in the minors 2 years ago.
Yes.
And you're holding out on the Stanley Cup champion and you're a kid? Come on.
Not holding out.
I don't get this
He doesn't have a deal.
Holding out is the day after the 17th.
So let's hope that they come to their senses and he gets a fair deal done this week.
What would you consider fair money for Brad Marchand?
I don't even know what he's asking right now, but all I know is the fact that it's out there is disturbing to me that he... I just don't get 1 year, one good year.
So let me get this straight. You understand about Drew Doughty, but you don't really with Luke Shen or Marchand.
I don't understand Luke Shen, and I don't understand Marchand. That I would hope that both of them get their deals done this week.
Sit there and say he's a superstar and he's a franchise type of player, so you'll let that one slide.
Bogosian would be in the latter part of not understanding.
I'm not understanding the three of them. And Doughty, I guess I he's had a few good years, two or three good years. I suspect he's trying to get the Stamkos type deal because he's the best young defenseman in the game. He's put up big numbers. I know he dropped off last year, but he's put up big numbers. He's a key guy on their back end. I don't see Luke Shen had a better year last year. But can Luke Shen not get a contract? I got to believe Donnie Meehan's going to get Luke Shen done this week. I mean, how complicated can this deal be with Luke Shen? Well, he had a pretty decent year last year, guys.
He had a good bounce back.
He had enough upside to deserve a monumental raise.
Enough upside that you can sit there and say he's a top four defenseman for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Right.
He takes in key minutes now, and he's only getting stronger. So
he's a top four. So what is he with the Leafs? Number four? 3-4 this year?
Yeah, you gotta assume
Doughty's what? Number
18,
one?
20 minutes.
Doughty's number one. Right. Big difference.
No. Not only is he number one.
But why is Luke Shen?
He's a franchise type player.
Exactly.
Right.
So why is Luke Shen? Do you really believe Shen is waiting to see Doughty's numbers so he falls into the. Why? They're not even a comparable, in my opinion.
Well, the link with agents, right? Makes sense.
It's comparables.
How is it comparables, Nick? One guy's going to get $7 million. The other guy's going to get what? 2.8.
Okay. Well,
how is that a comparable?
Well, I don't know. I mean,
what is half as good?
Half as good.
I mean, it's not a comparable to me. I'm confused on that one.
But you're looking at it just a black and white.
I'm looking at Luke Shen 2 years ago was in the press box, had a tough, tough year. Last year had a better year. But it shouldn't be a very complicated contract.
It is complicated, Mac, if you're talking about a 3-year deal or a 5-year deal or a 7-year deal or a 9-year deal, which Drew Doughty wants nothing to do with. And I don't blame him whatsoever.
Your report, Nick, was that he rejected the 9-year deal?
The thought was that they wanted to put him in line with Kopitar at 6.8 because Kopitar is now their best or at least their highest paid guy per average at 6.8.
Right.
And, you know, and I don't blame Drew Doughty, but, you know, there is no comparison there in terms of one guy being a franchise type of player. Kopitar, in my estimation, still isn't hit superstar status. Mm. Doughty is right there with the top defenseman in the league.
Exactly.
Kopitar is not. So really the mistake was not that 6.8 isn't enough for Drew Doughty. The mistake was that you probably shouldn't have given Kopitar 6.8.
Exactly. So then let's go back to the other thing. Why is Marchand, Shen, and Bogosian all waiting for Doughty? If that's true. Because they're not even close to comparables. We're talking Doughty as a potential franchise player. I certainly haven't heard the other guys' names as potential franchise players. I mean, they're pretty good players. That's why I'm confused here. But
Brad Marchand could be your top three forwards.
Could be.
For a number of years to come. So if you're going to give him a 5-year deal and he's one of your top three forwards.
Brad Marchand had one good year. He had 15 goals last year?
You're right. He had
one. So what do you mean he's going to be a top three forward?
He could. Well, if you're talking a 5-year deal, Mac, Brad Marchand projects himself as a top three forward in 2 years. Does he not?
I don't project him as a top three forward, no. I certainly don't project him as a top three forward on Boston Bruins.
So that's where he's seeing his salary go. He wants to be as close to Drew Doughty as possible. You wait for the top to sign. Do you not wait for the top to sign and then take the trickle down?
Yeah, but come on. I mean,
otherwise, you're negotiating against yourself.
One good year is what he's had. And he had 15 goals, didn't he?
Just, was he not 20?
Uh-oh. I guess in that range somewhere.
Look it up. I think he was close to 20 goals.
Yeah. Well, I don't understand it. I think he should get his butt into camp and get in there and get a deal done. Yeah,
that's a general manager part of him there.
Yeah, right.
You know, that's
an angry.
That's not agent player perspective there.
Right now he's treating 17 us like Pat Morris.
He had 17 goals.
So it's right in the middle.
That's a top three forward.
Well, project. Right. Okay, he's played 1 year in the league. He scores 17 goals. Now elevate that game.
I'm just not buying that a guy has one good year in the league and he deserves to have a big ticket. I'm not buying it. So that's just my own opinion. I don't think Bogosian, Shen, and Marchand have had done enough that their contracts should be that complicated to get
guys
done.
Guys that are now
understand the kid Doughty. I understand that.
Guys that see themselves as nucleus type of players now have seen the economics of North America dwindle, and yet the revenues continue to go up. So especially in Doughty's case now, to tie him up 6 or 7 years and have a cap hit on average at 6.8 when you don't know where it's going to go. In 5 or 7 years, is a $3 billion industry going to go to $3.5 billion, $4 billion?
Now, Drew Doughty and...
That's what makes them nervous.
So tell me where Brad Marchand's a top three forward. Where does he fit in? Krejci, Horton, Bergeron, Seguin, Lucic.
Kelly.
Where does he fit in the top three forwards? That's what you said he was.
Yeah, no, I said projected to be.
Okay. Anyway.
The Doughty, the Shen should be deals that you can get done. What do you do with Zach Bogosian, though?
Well, you know, he's a similar situation that he's been up and down. His name's been out there for trade rumors. People like him. People think he's got a big upside. But again, he's been good. He's been average, and he's been poor so far in his NHL career.
He had some issues there with the coaching staff too, and there's a complete change over there. So, you got to put him in a scenario where
That's more of a mystery to me.
It's not a long-term commitment, and you just work off of that. Does that mean a two-year deal, a three-year deal? I mean, he's a top pick, so you're going to have to give him an ample opportunity, and that might be another 12, 18 months to figure out what type of player he's going to be.
And who's Bogosian's agent?
That I don't know.
Because Newport have all the other guys. Mm-hmm. Wade or not has Marchand.
Yeah.
And Donnie has the others.
So your point is that Newport's pretty good at their job?
Excellent at their job. Excellent at their job.
I've never
debated that.
I think that if you look at the Stamkos deal, and yes, it's a high number. 7.5 is a high number. But
he is the Stamkos on the blue line.
It's just the 5 years. It's a 5-year deal. So the security's there, and yet Stamkos he's got some great options in 5 years.
Now, is Drew Doughty not comparable if you want to put him into a group with Shea Weber? Young blue liner.
To me, he's going to be in the future. He's got an upside. But Shea Weber, to me, has had how many years
right. Where
he's been where he's grown into one of the best defensemen in the game.
So when you're starting at a number for Drew Doughty, it should probably be just a little bit less than where Shea Weber is now.
It should be for me. Yeah, definitely.
And I think that's where the deal is, guys. That's where the deal is. It's going to have to be higher than Kopitar, but it doesn't have to be as high as Stamkos.
Stamkos' contract is the issue. I think
6, 9, 7, 1.
Yeah, I think he wants to be close to Stamkos.
That'll get it done.
Weber isn't at 7.5 for one more year.
So tell me what Luke Shen deserves. What's he going to get? 2.8 to 3.5 in that range.
What did?
Well, if you guys are putting Doughty at 6.8. Then Luke Shen, they're fighting
three and a half.
And what's Brian at? Has it come out?
Brian won't discuss it.
Okay.
He's not as forthcoming as you.
Yep. Anyway, I'm just confused that these guys have had each of them, in my opinion, have had one good year, Mac, and that's it.
Doughty's more than that.
I'm not talking Doughty. I don't understand the other ones.
You're under the old system, bud. Your mentality is still under the old system because
I'm in the old system.
The old salary world where you got paid for what you did.
Oh, so you don't get paid anymore for what you do.
No, take a look. Yeah,
that's why tourists expect $3 million. What are we going to do? Gift guys $3 million now because they have good years in the American League?
We had guys in the league with less than 100 games of experience signing $20, $25 million deals now. So you pay forward now. You don't pay back.
Give me one of the young guys that haven't done something. Like, are you talking about Perry? Are you talking about Getzlaf? Give me them. They've all become their best players on their team.
Gilbert and Edmonton, didn't he sign a huge deal?
But that was a bad contract.
Oh, God, Mac. We can go down the list. I mean, off the top of my head, Wednesday I'll give you a list.
You still have to do something
15,
to get paid.
$20, $25 million deals.
What, that you don't have to do anything, get paid?
The guys coming off their entry-level deals are getting paid for
huge
potential.
Bucks.
Yeah, sure, and that's really what's... But tell me one guy coming out of his entry-level who hasn't been one of the top players that got these big deals.
He just did.
Who?
Gilbert.
Gilbert, but Gilbert wasn't coming off an entry-level, I don't think he was.
He was.
Anyway,
they all come off their entry,
It was a bad contract,
could have been a good contract because he was a 15, 20 minute guy.
The guys that have come off entry level that have hit big home runs. I mean, I gave Rick Nash the first one coming off entry level, and why? He won the Rocket Richard Trophy.
You're on fire, eh?
No, because I don't buy what you're saying that you don't have to do something. You've got to show potential that you're going to be a star.
A whole
tourist doesn't deserve it. He's done nothing. He's done nothing. He doesn't deserve $3 million a year.
We can Shelton Beach by yourself.
Okay. You know what? Being a top five pick does something for you because these guys are still getting their cash.
Yeah. There's some top five picks
out
of the
league. Emails. HockeyCentral@fan590.com. Don't do it while driving. There's a crackdown on right now. My wife got a ticket the other day for texting while driving. She was at a red light.
She should.
Got pulled over by a cop on a horse.
Well, she should get if she was texting.
Now, are you allowed to text on a horse?
I don't know. No, it's not a motor vehicle, so I guess you could.
My daughter texts on her horse.
A special guest coming in on the other side as we continue the debut. 2011-12 season is underway on Hockey Central Noon, Sportsnet Radio, The Fan 590.
Like free sports tickets, trips, and memorabilia so you can trick your friends, colleagues, and mistresses into thinking that you're some sort of high roller? Hey, join the club.
Welcome to the club.
The Fan Club. Join online at fan590.com. Now more Hockey Central at Noon. Simulcast on Sportsnet and Sirius Channel 157 on Sportsnet Radio, The Fan 590.
Can we get a pen in here, please? We've signed them up. Darren Millard, Doug McLean, Nick Kiprios, the maiden voyage of Hockey Central at Noon. Radio only today. New bosses in the studio now.
I met
seven
four
bosses.
New bosses. Can Every you, time I turned around, I was being introduced to a new boss.
Well, can you let this boss speak? Here's Scott Morrison back. Welcome.
Are you one of my bosses?
Apparently.
Oh, okay.
I told my son, he said, what are you going to be doing? I said, I'm going to be on a panel with Millard, Kiprios, and McLean. And he said, oh, couldn't you get a job that has a speaking part?
That's the longest you'll be able to speak right
no
there
kidding.
Without being cut off. Well, it's the
and,
same.
And
as
what do we say? You came from the I desk at CBC, and we're the Y desk, not the other way around.
No. What are you guys talking about? That's what we.
But it's good to be home. A new home, but it's good to be home.
What do you think?
Hadn't
of
been in this building.
What do you
before?
Think of the studio, the radio studio that we built and let McCowan use every
we,
once in
we
a while?
We lease it out to him.
It's nice. Very nice digs here.
So what's your job?
I have many titles, many hats.
Because that sort of thing on Saturday nights was sort of I thought it was a geeky little thing there, but I.
It was the
oh,
most,
here come the geeks.
It was the most watched segment.
Yeah, I liked it. I'm kidding, Scott.
I know you're kidding.
He was just talking about Merrick, not you.
Yeah. Well, and you know.
Merrick also part of the fold here.
As I told Merrick the other day, he says, now you're my boss. I said, I was always your boss. It just wasn't official. Now it is. Well, of my many roles, executive producer of the hockey, so I'll be working with all you guys and with all the hockey shows and helping to put those together, the Hockey Centrals and all the various specials that we end up doing, and the pregame shows for the regional telecasts, the intermissions, and working with
so
the shows
we
on
will,
that.
We'll
and
then, see on air a little bit, too, because sometimes I just can't get Mac to see my side of it, and I know that you always have.
The voice of reason. The voice of reason
so
returns.
But, how many executive directors of hockey do we have here?
Oh, there's several.
Oh, okay.
But it's a big property here.
Are you the senior executive director?
No, we haven't added that
yet.
We haven't put the senior part on it. So anyway, it's exciting. It's great to be back. I will be on air, and you know, we're figuring out how that's going to work as we start to get our feet on the ground and running here. But it's going to be fun. I'm really excited.
Any night you want to fill in for me, you're more than welcome to take my spot on the panel. Anytime.
The voice you hear is Scott Morrison, the executive director of Hockey
Central. That's what you need. Another excuse to go down to Yorkville.
Anyway, no, that's great. I think it's certainly exciting for me to have four more bosses. So I'm excited to have you.
Well, they said three.
Are you going to help me with content?
They said three bosses couldn't get the job done. So keep you under control.
You're going to help us with content.
We will help with content and many, many things.
Oh, opinion we have enough of.
Yes.
We're okay in that
and that's,
standpoint.
That's good. That's a good thing.
So you'll be part of this show as well?
I'm sure it'll be popping up here occasionally, yeah.
Might have to get you a bottle of GPA Sport Water, too. I mean, if
I've been hearing all
really
about
be
it, but I haven't had a sampler yet, so.
Did the spot air today? Did Kipper
it,
spot
did it air?
Air?
How good did I sound?
Do you have
I've
it?
Heard the spots.
Do you have it back there? Can you play it just randomly? Is there a possibility?
No, don't. Mac will
when
bury
it's in
me.
Longos and Pusateri's, I'll get some.
He's going to bury me if we hear it again. All right. It's good water. Max on it. Look how good his skin looks.
Hydrated. Very hydrated. I think your son made a lot of sense. It's maybe the most sensible thing I've heard today.
No kidding. He got
He's
it right.
He's a very smart young guy.
He is
guy.
A smart boy.
Well, we're yeah. excited to have you back, Scott.
Yeah, well, I'm thanks, really excited. And Christine.
Christine Simpson is as back. Well. And it couldn't have come at a better
Mike
time.
English. I met Mike English this morning.
For Christine Simpson, it couldn't come back at a better time because she was doing games with the New Jersey Devils.
So correct me in this. Most guys, when they're with a job, their hair goes gray from stress like mine. I know Mike English's has gone brown when I saw him today. Is that?
He's been drinking that water.
See, Mac's in trouble. That's inside stuff that the listener will not know about.
Okay, sorry. I apologize.
Already.
Phil Collins, I'm sorry.
Mike English is our news director. And we will be announcing a couple of other things shortly as far as bosses. Yeah,
but nothing about his hair. We won't announce anything about his hair.
About the new guy's hair.
About the dye that he's using up top.
But the good news is that everything is this is a place that's going
like
forward.
Tammy Faye Baker.
At 100 miles an hour, a lot of growth and a lot of exciting things down the road. So it's good to be a part of it.
You actually wanted to get topical and promote the facility here?
Well, the voice of reason.
Scott Moore was in this morning and told us that the fall is going to be very, very exciting. So it's good to hear that.
Got new music coming.
and hats.
New music coming. So I can't wait.
I'm going to be honest with you.
Because I saw the band going in to rehearse.
I asked Scott to come in today because we ran into him in the hallway. And for no other reason but just to help me out.
You know what?
Because I knew that this would dissolve into.
I am not wearing a scarf around my neck like what's his name or clothing. What
Dean Bender.
Dean. I'm not wearing a scarf or an ascot.
Well, you wore a hat at the Heritage Classic.
Anyway, I'm going to see my clothing girl tomorrow, and we'll see. But Dean will have his hands all over that.
I can't.
Yeah. Congratulations! I'm thrilled. We're thrilled to have you here.
Well, really. I'm thrilled to be here.
And is Grapes upset?
Yeah.
I haven't talked to Don yet.
Grapes take it when you and Merrick left. would
devastated Grapes, doesn't begin to describe it.
Would Grapes know that Merrick's first name is Jeff?
He would,
and not John.
Well, he does now because Grapes never misses one of these shows. He's You're one right. of our most avid listeners.
What? Just while we have you here, as a guy that's written a number of books, so what do you think the impact of adding another franchise?
Of
like Winnipeg coming back and obviously a seventh team in Canada. I can ask that question to you because these two guys just rip on me anytime that Winnipeg comes up and just call me a homer. But, I mean, the significance of getting something back that was – and we talk about you righting a wrong. You're back in the fold, but Winnipeg back in the fold.
Well, I mean, we all know the passion in this country. And before we can really pass judgment, we got to see it. They got a 5-year honeymoon, and let's see what happens in year 6 if they're not in the playoffs.
How much do you
think? They're a struggling franchise. So, you know, everything is right now because you've got a 100-cent dollar. You've got the passion that is there. The people have stepped up to the table to show it, but it's sustainability again. Still,
how much do you think of there is truly a 5-year honeymoon? I had this conversation with someone the other day. I'm sitting there going,
no.
This is a town.
Well, it's 3 to 5 years only because they've sold the tickets.
Okay, right. But I'm talking about just the patience of a team that is just happy to be in the league or a team that wants to compete. I think it'll take all but 5 minutes for them to get their competitive juices back because this was an organization with the likes of Howard Chuck that used to go head-to-head with Gretzky and on some occasions come out looking pretty good. Mm-hmm. I just don't think it'll be enough for Winnipeg to go in there and say, hey, listen, it doesn't really matter. We're just happy to be in the league.
Sustainability isn't just passion. You got to win, and that fuels the passion.
Guys, you don't have to look any further than Ottawa. Ottawa was considered an excellent franchise in the National Hockey League. And all of a sudden, they lost a little competitiveness. They went from going to the Stanley Cup Finals. And all of a sudden, you know, Ottawa, a lot of money lost last year, a total rebuilding, fan base, there's some apathy there. Hey, it's tough today if you don't win. And Winnipeg will be no different. I think it's terrific. I'm thrilled that they're in Winnipeg. I'm thrilled they're sold out versus that Atlanta situation. So that's all positive. But they've got to be successful.
Well, you talked to Edmonton and Calgary because they did a piece last year about the potential for more teams in Canada. What are the key factors? You talked to Edmonton and Calgary, and they had real business issues when they weren't winning. And when they've had the challenge, Edmonton especially, over these last couple of years, they've had real challenges. The passion's there, but you still have to get the people sold on the team, and they felt it. So that's why I say the window is that 5 years when it's up. If they're not a winning team, the difference with that ownership now, they have the wherewithal to spend money. Their business plan is much different.
And deep pockets.
That's what I mean. Yeah. They've got the deep pockets if they want to go out and get competitive.
But listen, but they're also saying, oh well, we're gonna break even because we're gonna get $20 million or so in revenue sharing from the NHL. They're counting on being a revenue receiving team in Winnipeg. So deep pockets, they're gonna lose what, $15-20 million in the regular season, but they'll get it back with the revenue sharing, which is the idea of the plan. Mm-hmm. And which,
that's the business
plan. That's the business plan. But I mean, when people say they're gonna break even in Winnipeg, no, that's after revenue sharing they're gonna break even, which I guess is in fact breaking even.
Mac, you looked at their team. How competitive do you think that team can be in the Eastern Conference?
I think they're going to battle for 7, 8, 9, 10. You know, that's how close it is. I don't see them as a playoff team right now.
And they're pretty good for half a season last
they
year.
Got, yes, the first buzz was...
Yeah. You know. They have to combine with the Leafs. The Leafs were terrific in the second half. Atlanta were great in the first half. If those two organizations can just, you know...
Merge.
You know how many times I used to say in Columbus,
and playing Thunder Bay.
From game 58, we were the third best team in the West from game 58 to 82. It doesn't matter. It's 82 games.
No, the Islanders, what were they, 12-5 with that stretch in February? There's a team. There's a team. There you go.
So Berkey's got the dates down to a
Winnipeg,
science.
Winnipeg, Toronto, and the Islanders to finish 1-2-3 in the Eastern Conference. Yeah.
It'd be unique, too, because that team's going to play in a division that's geographically nowhere close.
Bizarre.
To,
yeah. That's bizarre.
It's just,
but they had to do it for a year.
And 2 minutes to go.
Now, what about, I'm hearing this week that they can't find nice apartments in Winnipeg for the players. I'm saying, give me a break.
No.
They can find I mean, are you telling me players can't find nice apartments in Winnipeg?
You'll go there and find them. Something that's suitable.
Some real estate there.
Like, what do these guys need for an apartment that they can't find an adequate apartment in Winnipeg?
It wasn't phrased apartments. You're making it sound like some all-in bachelor pad. They're looking for high-end real estate.
Yeah.
They're looking to spend $3,000-$4,000 a month. There's not a lot of that.
$3,000 or $4,000 20 years ago.
That's the common
fees. I was in New York in 94 spending $3,500 for my place. Wake up.
Yeah, Richie Rich over there. Yeah, you're a big hitter.
Oh, my. Three or four.
Why did you fight with that poor girl in the island about the cottage rent when it was $1,200 for the week?
Hey, there are guys in New York spending $20,000
a month.
Yeah, like it's nothing.
Well, in New York, a little different in Winnipeg. And you did. These guys will pay.
You nickel and dime my girl in PEI over rent for a cottage. It was $1,200 for the week, and you were nickel and diming her.
And he stayed one extra night for free.
I did not nickel and dime.
It was a joke.
I gave her face value. I gave her the going value.
You aren't buying real estate in PEI, though,
if it's compared to his place, what was that? The couch on the porch?
I don't know.
All I know is when
the Kyprioses go to the beach, they'd show up at my house because they'd just use our towels, use our beach. It was unbelievable.
The good news is, Morrison, you can come out to PEI next summer. You're now part of the fold again.
There you go.
Thanks to Scott Morrison. Welcome back to you.
Congratulations.
Stop in. He'll be with the program throughout the winter. Doug McClay, Nick Kyprios, and Darren Millard back on the air on Hockey Central at noon. Sportsnet Radio, The Fan 590.